Good afternoon and welcome to Q&A with Terry A. on Calcium Bentonite Clay. It's good to be back with you after a little break there. Looks like we have a lot of questions in queue for us today, and I thank you for that. I do want to mention that you were listening to a CD from a friend I met in Tahiti from Sweden. So the reason you couldn't understand the language, because it was Swedish, but I thought that the melody is beautiful and it's very relaxing and soothing, and I just wanted to share that with all of you. One of those extra surprises that you come home with when you take a trip of meeting lovely people. Well, let's get to our questions today. We have quite a few of them in store over here. This is from Kaylee from Tucson. My name is Kylie, and I have purchased living clay and take 2 ounces per day and noticed a difference in general well-being. I've not had a cold prior to taking it but once in my 20s. I must say, after taking it for 2 months, I came down with a cold, lots of mucus, and a cough. When I coughed, it felt like pins and needles throughout my lungs. Is that a normal thing? I was grateful to release so much mucus. I guess that was definitely a benefit. Is clay something that should be taken ongoing, no buildup of it in the body? Yes, it's safe to take clay ongoing. Saying that, I will tell you, when I mix the liquid and the heavier particles settle to the bottom, I leave them at the bottom, and when I get to the bottom, I just add some more water, and I use that to water my plants. They love the clay, and I just don't think it's necessary. And I know people who drink all of it, and it's just fine. I've been taking it for over 10, 12 years now, pretty much on a daily basis, and I have nothing but benefits. Now, I wouldn't contribute getting the cold to clay. I think maybe something just happened and it's time for you to get a cold again. I can't address that issue because I've never heard of clay causing a cold. But it supports your immune system and really wards them off. I rarely get sick, but I'm just guessing it was something else in the air. All right. Angie from Chico. Is it true that eating clay is more beneficial than drinking it? I read somewhere that mixing the clay with water lessens the effect of the clay. Thank you. Angie, it depends on how much water you use. If you dilute it till you can't even, you know, like if when you put it in your bath, you're putting a little clay in a whole lot of water, and it doesn't stay in emulsion. When it stays emulsified and mixed, it's fine. And I guess it would depend on the type of clay you're using. With living clay, when I mix it and I pour it in a glass, I can swirl it around and drink it, and it leaves a coating in the glass. And this is beneficial for you to kind of coat your organs as it's going from your mouth south. And the coating is a little bit slick, and it doesn't just rinse out of the glass with water. You have to take a sponge and kind of scrape it out. So that's beneficial to the body. When you eat the clay, though it does have some water with it, now I'm not talking about, I'd never eat the dry clay. I'm talking about if you eat a spoonful of the mask or something, which I have done at times, and often when I have a sore throat, I'll put a little teaspoonful on the back of my tongue and just gently let it work down my throat. That's okay. It doesn't have the coating effect like the liquid would. But if you put it in too much water, yes, you're not going to get as strong a benefit. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. Good question, though. But if it stays emulsified when you mix it, meaning that you see a really thick grayish hue that you can't see through, I'd say it's fine. Oh, Charlie in Chicago. Hi, Perry. Is each batch of living clay tested for radiation? Thank you. No, we don't test for radiation. Our clay is pretty well protected with the 2-foot layer of crystalline zeolite over the bed And the thing is, if it does pick up a little radiation dust, the clay's gonna hold it. So it's not something that's gonna be harmful. Remember, a teaspoon of clay, the surface area is a fourth of a football field. So it can hold a lot of toxins before it fills up. And, unless it gets a full blast of radiation real strong for a prolonged time, I don't think it's gonna affect anyone, because it's not going to go into your body. The clay captures it. That's what it does. A lot of times it picks up radiation going through transit, particularly if it's going through customs and things, because they really gamma ray things. And so I really believe that it's safe. Okay, Karen from Greensboro, please advise on using clay for the treatment of nasal polyps. Also, would clay break up or dissolve calcification? I have a horse with a hard lump on his knee. Yes, it very definitely would break up the calcification. I would put a big thick poultice around his knee, wrap it in saran wrap, put a bandage over it where he can't, you know, chew the plastic off. And let's see, as far as the polyps, I think it would, you know, you might want to get a neti pot, and to the water in your neti pot, put about a teaspoon or half a teaspoon. Start with a half a teaspoon of the liquid clay added to the water in a neti pot and use it like that and see if that won't help the polyps in the nasal. You can also put it on top, clay on your face, the mask over the sort of the sinus areas and around the nose, and see if that doesn't help as well. And thank you for your question. Livia in Scott, at Scott Creek. I don't know where Scotch Creek is, but I like the sound of it. Ooh, we have a long one here. Hi, Perrier. Thank you so much for being available to all of us. I have a few questions for you, as I just started using the clay about 4 weeks ago. I have extreme environmental illness or multiple chemical sensitivities for over 10 years now. It has prevented me from doing things that the average people do. I'm understanding that, and socialize, shopping, wearing new clothes, and lots more. They're very sensitive, and just smells, ordinary smells, perfumes, makeup, things like that are really sensitive to people with your multi-chemical sensitivities. So I can relate to you on that. I spent a fortune and time without much success. My next question is, due to my multi-chemical sensitivity, I also have developed electro-hypersensitivities. You've mentioned that clay carries a negative charge and that the bad things in us are positively charged. I'm wondering if all of these charges going to help with my EHS problem. Also, okay, let's address that first. You know, I don't really know. What I recommend to people with multi-chemical sensitivity to start out, because you're so sensitive, I recommend usually people start out taking 2 ounces twice a day. In your case, I'd say start with a half a teaspoon twice a day and gradually build up. I do have some people that are very sensitive like that, that love the clay and take it. I have some that are gluten-free and they're sensitive, and they notice their sensitivities get better, particularly if they follow a diet, which is imperative too. But I would say start with it very small, and you might use some topically in one area, maybe on your knee or the back of your hand, and see if you notice anything. And notice when you drink the clay if you notice any. Most people just notice that they have more energy. It's not a nervous energy. It's a good thing. And since clay is all about balance, I'd like to talk to you while you do this and see what's going on with you and notice things, so the next time somebody calls, I can kind of tell how it works. So I'm going to give you my phone number, and if you would like to call and talk about it and on a day-to-day basis as you try it different ways, and we'll just see how it works. My number is 512-262-7187. That's my direct line, and I'll repeat it for any of you who would like to ask a personal question. 512-262-7187. Thank you. Okay, let's see. Then she went on down. Most people with MCS have a leaky gut problem. You had mentioned that the clay doesn't enter the bloodstream. With having a leaky gut, does the clay eventually pass through the intestinal wall membrane, and therefore could it possibly enter the bloodstream? And if so, is this a problem? No, it doesn't show to ever enter the bloodstream. If the clay particle is too large to pass through the intestinal wall. It says most chemical sensitive users do not have a calcium deficiency, but rather lack almost every other vitamin and mineral. My last question is there a way to use the clay to remove skin tags on the neck? I'm sorry for all the heavy questions. Thank you for the kind and compassionate heart, for your kind and compassionate heart. Well, honey, that's what I'm here for, is to answer questions as best that I can. I have removed skin tags. It takes a while. You've got to keep the clay directly on it and sort of dry it up. You want to put it on it and let it dry, wash it off, put it on, let it dry, wash it off. I did dry up one or two, and I'm actually shrinking some moles. And someone told me the other day to alternate the mole treatment. I just put the clay on at night when I go to bed and blob it on my moles, and they're getting smaller. It's taken 6 or 8 months, quite a while, but they're gradually getting smaller. And she said she alternated them. She would do the clay on there one night, and then she would do oregano oil on them one night, and then alternate that. So I'm going to try that and see if I can speed it up. So you might try oregano oil and then put a little clay over it. And if you can get a little square of Glad Press and Seal, if it's where you can let it dry, let it dry. But if it's, you know, oftentimes it's right on a collar, and if it's going to rub the wet clay off, I would say cut a little square of Glad Press and Seal and put the sticky side over the clay. Put the clay on and put the sticky side over it with the dry edges around that'll stick to the skin, and offer a Band-Aid and keep it in place. See if you can get rid of those skin tags. And again, I would love to talk to you as you go through this and see how you're doing with it. All right. Good questions here. Let me see if I've answered all of these. Okay, see if we have any more coming in. Well, it looks like I answered them all at one time there. Well, we'll go over to the phone lines and see if we have anybody on the phone lines with a question they would like to ask. First, I'm going to, for any new listeners, we're talking about calcium bentonite clay, which is a volcanic ash that's been supercharged with the heat of the volcano, and it comes out as a negative charged ion. And it's all about balance homeostasic. The clay does have, they say it has an energy to it. Most people who start drinking it say I've never had anyone say they feel hyper-energized. They just feel like they can get up and do more, like they're not too tired to go clean house. It just gives you the sweetest little burst of energy that it's not a conscious awareness or a heavy energy. I just don't know how to explain it. And if anybody does, well, chime in here and help me with this. But most people just notice they have more energy, in a short period of time. So, and like we said, clay does not enter the bloodstream. The particle size is too large to pass through the colon wall. So when you're drinking the clay, it detoxes you from the mouth south. And it starts cleaning in your mouth. I say it cleans house as it goes through you. It cleans the bad bacteria out of your mouth, your teeth and gums. It's good to brush your teeth with clay. If you want to take a mouthful of clay in the morning and swish it, that's excellent for your gums. It's going to pull the bacteria that get lodged down in your gums and tighten your gums back to your teeth. A couple of times a month, I pack my gums in the powder clay. I just put a ridge of the clay on my toothbrush handle and dump it between my cheek and gums, and the saliva holds it in place, and I go to sleep and then brush it out in the morning. And this is very good for your gums because it stimulates blood flow and oxygen. It really tightens them to your teeth, and it pulls the bacteria out of those pockets. We've deferred a lot of people who were lined up to have pyorrhea surgery or gum surgery. And if you'll start using clay every night, brushing your teeth and packing your gums with it, you can divert that. Now, if anybody on the line would like to ask a question, you just press star 2 on your phone, and it will show on my board, and then I can open the call and answer your question. I'm going to go back and check and see, since no one is responding, if we have any more questions coming online. Well, we just started out with a bushel of them, and now everybody's gone. Well, I recently got a call from a doctor who was referred to the clay, and he treats autistic children, and he's very interested in using it in his protocol. We do know that the clay baths miraculously somehow calm the children down, that the parents in the first clay bath can notice a change in the child. One child became very talkative, like Chatty Cathy is the way the mother described him, said he wasn't very talkative. He didn't use his vocabulary and language very well. He got in the bath and he just turned into Chatty Cathy and talked all evening, and he calmed down. They calm it down. The kids name it. One of them calls it his magic bath, and the other one calls it his chocolate milk bath. And it's interesting. Autistic children don't like change, but to try to get them in a bath that looks muddy and dirty, it's very awkward for them. That's a change. They don't want to get in it. We had one little boy who, he's 2, and he's not talking yet. And he hates baths, and he really fights them. He'll just throw a hissy fit, and his mother just finally gave up and put him in a clay bath, even though he was resisting it. And she would get a little bucket, the way she always bathed him, would just pour the water over him because he wouldn't sit down in the tub. She started pouring the water over him, and he got very happy, and he started giggling and laughing and just having the best time instead of fighting her all through the bath. So that was a new testimonial and change that we hadn't heard before, and a very unusual one to boot. So this doctor is very interested. He wanted me to attend an autism clinic in May, which is just around the corner. And I would love to go, but unfortunately I already have something booked. So we're looking forward to the next one, going and having a presence there. If you know anybody with children with autism, just suggest they take a clay bath. Mix the clay for the clay bath, one cup of clay, dry powder clay in a blender, sandwich between the water, fill the blender half full, put a cup of clay in, and then fill it almost to the top, about an inch of the top with water, blend it, put it in their bath, and see if they don't notice a change in the first bath. I don't know how it does what it does, particularly on something like that. It's quite amazing. We have another listener on the line, so again, I'm going to ask if anyone has a question they'd like to ask. Here's what I'd like to say about clay if you're new to clay. Clay is not a drug. And this is the problem the FDA has, or clay has with the FDA. The FDA is a round hole. Clay is a horse of a different color. It's a square peg, and it won't fit in the FDA's definitions because their guidelines and their definitions are designed for drugs. And clay doesn't act like a drug because it's not a drug. And so it doesn't really fit those parameters. They pretty much say anything that isn't a food that you put in your mouth is a drug. So, you know, in time, I think they're going to grow to understand clay is a horse of a different color. It doesn't fit their parameters for what they need. But there are some criteria you need to observe. And a lot of people have a hard time picking clays and understanding which clay to choose. I find if you can get, narrow it down to two of them you like, order some of both, and try and compare them. See what happens when you mix them, and you'll mix them according to the manufacturer's directions, because each clay is different. I mixed a clay, a well-known clay the other day, and shook it up real good to make the liquid, and I let it sit a little while, and it totally separated. All the clay went to the bottom, and the water on top was clear. It was a little murky. By the second day, it was pretty much just like plain water. So it totally separated. It didn't have any swelling capacity, and it didn't stay emulsified. And you also, when you mix the mask and put it on, you want it to dry like concrete. I mean, when it dries so hard that you can't talk and move your mouth, and also that when you try to talk and move your mouth, it doesn't crumble and fall off. You want it to really stay on there where you have to, you pick it off or you have to wet it to get it off, rehydrate it, and wash it off. You want one that has that pulling and holding power. I was sent a clay from a company that really went to great expense to have beautiful packaging and labeling, and they were addressing the spa market. And I put this clay on my face and let it dry. And when I talk, the powder, it turned back to the powder, and it was just falling on my blouse. It had no holding power at all. So those are some things you can look for when you are comparing it. That bite, try it and see, you know, if it really stops the pain and pulls out the venom. So, try it like that and see. And I'm going to check back. I haven't checked back in a while to see if we have any more questions coming in. Okay, here's a question from Brenda. Hi, Perry. If I mix clay and water into a paste, can I be adding water as it dries and reuse the paste so that I don't waste it? The paste is just on a glass plate and I don't cover it. Okay, Brenda, I'm going to suggest that you mix it in a small jar. You can go to the grocery store and get these little fruit cups, the plastic fruit, food grade plastic fruit cups made by Glad. They have smaller ones that you can put just some fruit or something in to put in the kids' lunch. For a tablespoon of clay, well, I'd say go by your manufacturer's directions, but with living clay, you'd use 1 tablespoon of clay and 3 tablespoons of water. Shake it, let it stand 10 or 15 minutes, absorb the moisture, and it's ready to use. As long as you keep it in there with the lid, I have kept clay for a year. Now, if it's in a plastic container and it's in the sunlight, if I leave it in the car, it's going to dry out and get hard. You can add water to it, but it doesn't quite get the same texture. It's just not as good as when you fresh make it. So instead of leaving it on a plate where it's going to dry, put it in something that you can close, put a lid on it. You need to shake it anyway. And try that, and it will keep indefinitely. once I start using it, opening it and using it and dipping into it, every time I open it, I'm adding more air to it, and it begins to dry. When I dig out a hole, it gets thin around the edges. It begins to dry a little bit. I kind of scrape it and push it all down and keep it in one spot, not spread out along the bowl. And it lasts 3 or 4 months, or I've had one jar that I kept in my bathroom for 3 years before it started smelling musty. And, of course, I'd been opening it and getting into it, and I hadn't used it much. It was a decorative jar, but it was still hydrated. It got thick over the years. So you can always try adding more water, but it doesn't quite emulsify quite like it does when you first make it. Good question there. Gabby in Torrington, Wyoming. Hi, Perry. I enjoyed listening to you on the Power Hour last night. I downloaded Joyce's program and listened in the evening. Just want to say I appreciate you and all your wonderful info. Keep up the good work, Gabby. Thank you, Gabby. It really is refreshing to know that I'm not just sitting here talking to the wind and that I can be helpful. That's what I'm here for. There's just such a great need now, I think more than ever, for good education to know what you're looking for in a clay. So many sites are popping up since clays have become so popular. And I have people who call me and they find clay in their backyard or their cousin's farm has some clay. Can we use that? And I have to tell them, you've got to try it on different things and see how it works. You need to send it off to a lab to see if it's pure and it's free of microbials and E. coli and staph and all these other things that can get into it. And check the purity of your clay. And you really need to know about the source provider of the company that you want. A company you can call and ask questions of. If you can't get to somebody, that's a red flag for me. I don't like buying through eBay because it's very difficult to know how to get a hold of the person and call if you have a question. So just keep in mind and know what you're looking for and how to compare clays and test them. And I always say the proof is in the pudding. I invite people to try the clay. Try it on half your face. Put the other clay on the other half of your face and just feel it. You'll know which one is the strongest and doing the best. So, Gabby, thank you for that compliment. Sometimes I think I'm just sitting here talking to space, so it's refreshing to be appreciated. And I appreciate that very much. Okay, I'm going to go back over to the phone line now and say if anyone on the phone line has a question they'd like to ask, if they'll press *2, then I can open that line and they can share their question. Again, if any of you would like to talk to me personally, my phone number is always available. It's 512-262-7187. If I'm where I can't answer my phone, if you leave a message, I will call back. I lost a call the other day, and I couldn't find the number. I thought it was going to keep it on my phone, but it didn't. So I'm hoping whoever that is will call me back. Okay, I have some people that I think. Hello, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and who am I speaking with?
I am Cheryl from Kansas.
Okay, Cheryl, how can I help you?
I was wondering about the clay and if it would dissolve bone spurs.
I really don't know if it works on bone spurs. Do you have something like plantar fasciitis?
No, I have bone spurs in both in my hips.
Uh-huh. It's very difficult to get it in that far into your hip where the bone spore would be. I would try drinking it and see if it has any effect on it. Something like that that's in there, usually they're in sort of a joint area. It's difficult to get the clay. You can try it, you know, at night, try to get as close to the area where the spur is and just put the clay on real thick and wrap some saran wrap or something over it, some Glad press and seal to hold it in place. And if you can, sleep with it on and see if you notice any difference. I know it will dissolve ganglion cysts and, you know, cartilage gristle buildup in joints and deformity from arthritis. So let's give it a try on a bone spur.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
And, of course, I would drink it, too. Thank you. All
and
right.
And would you say for that?
I'm sorry, what?
You said to drink it 4 ounces a day or more.
You know, just go with how you feel. Generally, 2 ounces twice a day is a good amount. I had one lady call me the other day, and she was drinking the whole 32-ounce bottle in one day. And she said she'd been really sick, and it's the first time she felt good doing that. I thought it was way too much, and that, you know, most of it's just going to go out of her body because it goes from the mouth south, but she's definitely got a clean house along the way. I definitely do not think you need 32 ounces. If you need to be more aggressive, maybe 6 ounces a day, you could take 2 ounces 3 times a day, or even 4 ounces 3 times a day. So play with it and find your happy place with it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call. All right. We have another line here. Are you on there? Hello? Oh, I thought there was another caller there. Okay. I'm going to switch back over to the questions again. I can't talk and look as if it's not. It looks like we're out of questions, and we're also out of time. I'm imposing on your time. Thank you all for listening in, for bringing your questions, and go out there and find some good clay and play in it and reap the sweet rewards. It's summertime. Keep your clay handy for insect bites and the West Nile virus. I hope everybody has some clay on hand in case this kook in North Korea does something stupid. We just all need to keep our survival packets on the ready. Today's world is very temperative. It's very temperamental, and it can swing either way, either day. So stay safe, enjoy this beautiful spring weather, and have a wonderful weekend. This is Perry A. signing out.